welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we have our special guests. We have Tim Freeman and Dean Carvalho. There we go. We get it straight. Thank you.
So, hey, Dean, how you doing?
Hello. Good, good. Ladies, how are you? Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, too. It's been a while. So, listen.
And Tim, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine. Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome.
We're excited to have you both here and excited to hear about your stories and your life stories and how you met and all of those good things, and also to talk about the historic Supreme decision of Supreme Court decision
right
of that same-sex marriages can happen, and also about DOMA. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that as well. So wonderful.
Yes, marriage is legal now for same-sex couples, as we all know. And out in the world and in the news, we've been hearing about political and financial implications. But what does it mean on an emotional level? You don't hear that much. And we are here to bring that emotionality here to Outbeat Radio. And for anybody who'd like to kind of get the end story from a couple, Dean and Tim, who've been married 24 years. Is that correct?
Well, we've been together 24. We just celebrated our 24th anniversary in May. And since marriage equality in California has only really been since 2008, we're going to be celebrating our fifth technical wedding anniversary coming up in October.
Well, so together 24 years, and we don't hear that much. We don't hear that much.
No, we don't hear.
And we get that response often as well as
We'd like to talk to you about that. Yeah. And then Greg Moraglia, our engineer, who's helping us out tonight, making us all sound wonderful. Greg, you and Tony have been legally married. Is that true?
That's right, since 2006.
Ah.
We got married up in Canada.
Okay, oh, nice. So we'd like to hear, you know, a little bit about your story and what DOMA and Prop 8 being overturned, what all that means to you as well.
It's an exciting time for sure.
Yeah, so I think Cher and I
probably share a little bit of our feelings around this decision, because this is our first time talking about it live on air since the decision. So I think that would be important for you to share and me to share a little bit. If you guys give us a chance to talk. No. But, you know, all of us, we know what it's about. You know, we're living proof. The name of our show is Living Proof, that we know when you focus on a goal and to keep applying yourself, that we can reach this goal. And we've all, in some way, have participated in this decision, you know, the supporting the people who are really at the forefront. I know Greg is so involved in all of
Amen.
Us, right? Right? Positive
yes,
images. Everybody has their
absolutely.
Fingers in it. So,
and we even have listeners listening tonight who have been very, very, very active. And also, we wanted to kind of dedicate this show to Sherry Davidson. She was like a forerunner in this movement and is no longer with us here in the physical earth. So we want to put praises out to her for all her work as well.
Beautiful, Sherry. Thank you. And yeah, and she's smiling up on us. I know she is. Okay. So, but we're going to get into all this juicy discussion right after Outbeat member Greg Moraglia tells us about news and events.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moraglia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, July 7th, 2013. In response to the Supreme Court decision striking down Section 3 of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, the Department of Homeland Security issued a statement this week affirming that married gay and lesbian couples will be treated like married straight couples for immigration purposes. Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano said, quote, effective immediately, I've directed U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services to review immigration visa petitions filed on behalf of same-sex spouses in the same manner as those filed on behalf of opposite-sex spouses. And in a related move, the Office of Personnel Management announced that federal employees, same-sex spouses, are now eligible for numerous benefits, including health insurance, life insurance, dental and vision insurance, long-term care insurance, and retirement benefits. Similarly, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid clarified that residents in long-term care facilities or nursing homes must be, quote, given full equal visitation privileges. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel also responded to the DOMA decision last week, announcing that the military will extend benefits to the same-sex spouses of service members as soon as possible. This includes the right to be buried in Arlington National Cemetery and to access housing together. Spouses will also be able to receive identification cards and the on-base benefits that are associated with that access. And here locally, same-sex couples from all around the North Bay started lining up at the Sonoma County Clerk's Office at 6 a.m. last Monday morning to be among the first to get their marriage licenses following the surprising move by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to remove the stay on the federal court's permanent injunction against the enforcement of Proposition 8. The Press Democrat reported that 10 weddings had been performed and 15 licenses issued by 9:30 a.m. last Monday. Among those were Glen Ellen resident Vicki Bassert and her partner Sharon Church, who said they were getting their license to marry later in the week. The first couple to marry, surrounded by tearful friends and relatives in a chapel room off the side of the clerk's office, were Katie and Amy Evans Reber of Petaluma. Flowered wreaths ringed their heads as they tearfully pledged their love and devotion, promising to care for each other through life's joys and sorrows. 91-year-old Don Nicholson married Philip Johnson, his partner of 48 years, and shared their first moments as a married couple. He said, quote, I never thought I would live to see the day. A shotgun wedding was in store for Michelle Mertz, who's 36, and Julie Dorgan, 44, who was due to give birth Wednesday, though she looked beyond relaxed about it as the pair waited to obtain a license. Mertz said they gave friends less than 24 hours' notice, but had at least 50 people planning ahead to attend the Western-themed wedding at Goat Rock State Beach. And in San Francisco, Mayor Ed Lee reported that 327 licenses were issued over Pride weekend between Friday and Sunday morning. In L.A. County, 500 online applications for marriage licenses were received by that county clerk's office between Friday afternoon and Monday morning. UCLA's Williams Institute predicts that 37,000 same-sex couples will marry over the next 3 years in California, bringing over $500 million in revenue to California's economy. But despite the ruling from the high court, Prop 8 backers tried to block the weddings by filing an emergency motion with the Supreme Court. They alleged that they were not given the traditional 25 days to file for a rehearing before the Ninth Circuit Court lifted their stay on the injunction. Justice Kennedy almost immediately denied the motion the very next day. Now here's your calendar events for the coming week. On Monday, July 8th, and every Monday at 5:30 p.m., the Petaluma Health Center will host an LGBTQ support group at 1179 North McDowell Boulevard in Petaluma. And also on Monday at 7 p.m., the Parents of Transgender Youth Support Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Tuesday, July 9th at 6:30 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Group will meet at the Positive Images Center. On Wednesday, July 10th at 5 p.m., Spectrum's Youth Support Group will gather at the Spectrum LGBT Center, 30 North San Pedro Road in San Rafael. And on Saturday, July 13th at 8:30 a.m., Walk with the Front Runners at Howarth Park, 630 Summerfield Road. All levels of walkers are welcome. And finally, on Saturday, the Russian River Sisters will present Time Travel Bingo at the Guerneville Veterans Memorial Hall, 1st and Church Streets in Guerneville. Tickets are available now at rrsisters.org. Doors open at 6 p.m. and games start at 7. This is an 18 and over event. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatnews.com and follow us all week long on Facebook and Twitter for the latest LGBT news and information from here in the North Bay and beyond. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And if you're just joining us, this is Living Proof on Outbeat Radio. I'm Sheridan Gold, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Diana Greyer. And we're in studio with our guests, Dean and Tim. And hello. To you both. And Greg, I got to tell you, that was a fabulous wrap-up. Quick five-minute wrap-up of the stories going around North Bay and San Francisco, the the two, three, or four couples that you introduced us to about their stories, the 91-year-old guy?
He'd been with his partner for 48 years, and he never thought he'd live to see the day he could get married.
So cool. Beautiful. So we have Dean and Tim in the studio, like I was saying, who got married in 2008, did you say?
Yes. Yep.
So tell us about getting married in 2008. Tell us how you felt hearing the news that your marriage is once again legal. I mean, it never was illegal, quote unquote. It was in that window, but now it's like recognized. So just tell us your feelings through the whole thing, and who'd like to start first, and then I'll just let the audience know who's going to be talking. Tim?
Okay, yeah, okay, I guess
so. Tim's going to start with that really long question. Go ahead.
And I think first to speak about Prop 8 and what the Supreme Court did with Prop 8. That impacted me, and I felt joy when we heard the ruling. We were up early that morning and ready, and we're very excited because until it was actually announced, you thought there was no way that it wasn't going to be supported, but that there was always that outside chance, just because you never know what those judges are going to do. But where I was really impacted, or where I really felt emotion, was surrounding DOMA being overturned. That was the one that really struck me hard, because I had always come at it from the perspective of not really looking at the things that I wasn't allowed or wasn't given as an equal right of every citizen of this country. Mm-hmm. And when I heard it, I immediately went to that place to realize the things that Dean could have, or that I could have, as a result of that. And it really hit me hard, and I was very emotional about it. It was an elated emotion, but at the same time, as time passed, and I credit Dean for pointing this out to me, I had a little bit of anger about it at a point, because I thought, who had the right to really tell me I wasn't equal? And, you know, that's where it really hit me, that it really was a civil rights issue that we all are struggling with and all fighting for. I feel like I carry my life in a way that I don't let things impact me, but there was a whole slew of laws, or I shouldn't say laws, but things that weren't afforded me because of that law. So
we back up just a little bit, and you said mm-hmm. something about you got emotional when you realized what it would do for Dean. Mm-hmm. Can you be a little more specific about what you're speaking
well,
about?
Well, I have a strong sense of care that I have for this man to my right, and it's one of those things where I feel very protective. And then to realize that there were certain survivor benefits that would come Dean's way, there were certain taxes that wouldn't have to be paid, all of the things that were tantamount to you're less than other people who actually had that right. I suddenly realized that, you know, I'll tell a brief story here.
Sure.
Where I did my taxes last year, and I came to realize that I couldn't claim Dean as a dependent. He's in school right now, and so that was something that was going to mm-hmm. basically give us a much better situation from a tax perspective. And I automatically thought, and again, this is embarrassing because I did have my CPA license at one point, but I thought I could claim him as a dependent because we were legally married within California. Well, suddenly I realized that I hadn't filed the appropriate paperwork for domestic partnership, and my tax accountant told me that, I'm sorry, but we can't include him this year on the taxes. It's too late. And so as a result, that really was something that I came to grips with earlier in the year. So it made me realize that now I don't have to do that. That was an extra step that I had to take just shortly after filing my taxes, so that I could be certain that I was afforded that right this year. But it was an effort, and nobody else had to do that.
No.
I had to do that.
And that's where the anger came in.
Exactly.
And I was pissed because we have a marriage license. We have a marriage certificate. We were legally married in the state of California. Whether Prop 8 was overturned or not, the marriages that happened within that window of period of time were legal in the state of California. So at least on our California state income tax return. We should have been able to file married jointly. And when the accountant came back and said, "No, you're gonna have to file as domestic partners," and it didn't make any sense to me because I thought, "Wait a minute, domestic partnership was the allowance that they gave gay couples because they couldn't get married,
yeah.
But I am married,
yeah.
So I don't need that
other
certificate." But no, we had to actually pay to have a new certificate, a domestic partner certificate issued. We had to go get notarized. I mean, we had to jump through hoops, and I thought, but we're married. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, valid. I mean, your anger, yeah. You know? So, yeah, right. I'm glad that you're able to speak about that.
Yeah. In hindsight, thank goodness.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So now we don't have to worry about that?
No. Thank goodness.
Yes.
And so just we can move forward just as everybody else does now and do our work without having to do the extra work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, life is to be lived, and it's to be lived the way we want to. And in all fairness, it should be with an equal playing field for all. And so the fact that now we're on that equal footing and can actually just rely on certain things, it brings to mind the whole issue of just human rights. And, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done on this planet, not to get too broad, but, you know, across the spectrum. And so it gives you, we're all connected, and this just gives you a further understanding as somebody who had to deal with a less than situation. And I certainly, my ego is pretty strong, and so I don't live in that place of less than, but the truth of the matter is this was a face-to-face example where I did have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks.
Now, what about you, Dean? So you wake up the morning.
We woke up. I realized it was like 10 to 7 and that the Supreme Court decisions usually were going to come out at 7 at least Pacific time. And I thought, oh, let's watch it on TV. And I wasn't prepared for the reaction I had when the DOMA was the first case that was announced. And I choked up. I got a little tear. And I realized how important, in fact, it was to me that those rights were going to now be afforded us. It wasn't too long after that that kind of the anger started welling up in me, and I realized, wait a minute, I don't need 9 people, or 5 as it turns out on the Supreme Court, to legitimize my relationship and to declare that I'm equal to anybody else. So, you know, that pissed me off a little bit, but then, you know, I kind of calmed down. Although, Sheridan, as you were talking during the intro, and we were talking about some of the other things that are on the horizon, and I think it was when Greg was mentioning about the Janet Napolitano saying that no more deportations were going to happen because binational couples could stay in the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, the look of joy on your face was wonderful to see. Yet at the very same time, I felt that, you know, no, this is what everybody else gets. Why are we happy that we're now, what, being invited to the table? So, you know, I mean, well, I hold both of those emotions at the same time, the joy and kind of the frustration and anger. That's what, like, for example, I hate calling it, you know, gay marriage. It's not, I don't want a gay marriage. I want a marriage. I want an equal marriage. I want my marriage to be the same as everybody else's. I don't want gay rights. I don't want special rights. I want equal rights.
Very well said. And,
very well said.
If you let me down off my soapbox now.
No, I wonder how they're going to write that up in the laws. You know, is it going to be marriage, you know, like for all?
Yeah,
or is it going to be split off like you're talking about?
Yeah, well, then what happens to transgender people? Mm. You know, do they have to have a trans marriage? I mean, it just marriage equality.
Marriage, yeah. What about you, Greg? Greg Moralia, our engineer, who's married to his partner of how many years? have you been together?
Well, we met in 2004, and then we got married in 2006.
So how did you feel when you, what did you do the morning that the, just tell us about your whole day, your whole morning, because I know, but the people out there listening do not know.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of excitement, certainly, and I was personally excited about it, but KRCB also was very invested and excited about it. So we provided some special coverage. I got up at 5 o'clock and came down here for the morning drive shift, and Mark Prell and I covered the release of the decisions sort of blow by blow. We were putting it on social media because we knew a lot of people in Sonoma County were probably going to be on the road during that time, on their way to work, and wanted to know. And it was so exciting, you know, to have each of the decisions released one at a time. There was actually a blogger in the Supreme Court room that was putting out line by line, you know, sort of what was happening. And so it felt very, very exciting to be there. But it felt great. It felt great.
What does it mean for you and Tony?
Well, we got married in Canada, in 2006. And to be brief about it, when Prop 8 passed in 2008, there was some question about what happened to persons who got legally married out of state or another country would be considered out of state. The Supreme Court said that, you know, all the marriages that happened before the passage of Proposition 8 in California were legal, but then there was this question about out-of-state marriages. So Mark Leno wrote a special piece of legislation that specifically said any same-sex marriage performed out-of-state, which included out-of-country, in a place where it was legal before Proposition 8 passed, would be recognized fully as married in California. And much to my surprise, Governor Schwarzenegger at the time signed it. So we've been married and recognized all along, but of course, you know, like Dean and Tim, we couldn't enjoy, or like the two of you, we couldn't enjoy the 1,138 federal rights either. So DOMA was really the really big decision that affected us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. And sure, since we're on the subject of marriage and DOMA, what about you? How were you affected?
Well, I tell you, I got up that morning and first thing I do is I get some coffee and I go to my computer, and I started seeing all these headlines, and I kept looking at my watch going, but it's not 10 o'clock yet. It's not 10 o'clock, but I forgot it was on the East Coast. And so, you know, when you wake up in that cloud, you don't really know what's going on. And I could not believe what I was reading. It's like it passed. I mean, not that it passed, but it's no longer. What? What? I go and I wake you up. Die, die, die. And it was just like.
Yes, I was sleeping.
I mean, I know what you're saying, Dean, about, you know, it should have been all right all along. So there's that bit of anger that makes it bittersweet. But on the other hand, it's like, I just can't stop smiling because I remember two guests that we had on our show maybe 4 years ago, two women. One was from another country, and Thailand or Philippines or something, I can't really remember, and they were going to deport her, and she had two children here with her wife, and it was horrible, and they had to go through so many hoops and get so many public officials involved to help this woman stay in the country, and it was very, very sad. We interviewed their two sons, and I mean, it was, the whole family came on our show. And so when I heard Greg talk about that on the news and I got the smile, glee of joy and everything, it's just like, you know, it doesn't have to happen anymore is what I'm happy about, not the fact that it shouldn't have happened at all. So that's just the type of person I am. And I'm thrilled. I'm overjoyed for us, Diana, that, you know, our two marriage certificates on the wall, one in 2004 when Gavin Newsom said, you know, it's legal for those 3 days over President's Weekend. And we stood in line for 2 days around City Hall, and then the marriage certificate in 2008. So it just makes it all like we were in a civil rights movement, you know. How about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, you just made me think about 2004. I just kind of did the math, you know, 2004 is 2013. You know, I get kind of, excuse me, I don't want to use the P word, but I get upset as well, you know, because I feel also, you know, it's our right to be able to have these rights that everyone else has. So anyways, I'm really excited when Cher woke me up in my dreamy nights, you know, dreamy state. I was very, very so happy for so many people, because I know that Cher and I made the window, you know, even if it just felt good that we were like legally married, they say, anyways. But so many more people wanted that opportunity. And, you know. So anyways, I was very, very, very excited. And I'm thinking back, Tim, what you said earlier about that we having to work so hard. You know, it reminds me of the black struggle, you know, of having to work so hard at everything just to be free, mm-hmm. you know, just to have a stake and a claim, you know, to just mm-hmm. be a part. So I kind of go back and forth with that joy. And I just want to put a shout out to our friends, Rolf and Amy Van Leeuwen. We had a celebration once this came up about. He wanted us to get together and wanted us to get together. You're talking about an ally. I mean, they were just right with us the whole time. We couldn't get the date right, and so we did it on 4th of July. Everybody was able to come to the party on 4th of July, and we had a beautiful celebration. Wonderful. And we made a beautiful spiritual circle where each person can talk about their experience with this big event and how they were affected by it in the past, in the present, and you know, it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing that we did. And so I'm so grateful, and I'm hoping that all the other states just going to, you know, it's just going to be like one after the next, you know.
Well, I'd like to see, in addition to the states passing laws that allow marriage equality, I think our next uphill battle is ENDA. It has got to get through Congress, because in 29 states, you can be fired from your job just for being gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and you can be denied housing for the same reason.
Did you mention a bill name or something? ENDA?
ENDA, Employment Non-Discrimination Act.
Okay, thank you.
It's the federal law. Some states already have non-discrimination statutes on the books, but this would be the federal, at the federal level.
Well, I just want to say there also was, even though we're coming at this from the perspective of having some concerns, there was a lot of joy. There is a lot of joy,
yes.
And I will say the Pride Parade in San Francisco showed a lot of that, and I will say that I didn't have dry eyes the whole time that I was, excuse me, I did have dry eyes for some periods of the parade. However, I did cry at certain points just looking at some of the players who actually made this a reality. Like Gavin was there with his daughter, with his wife. There were quite a few people who actually had worked very hard to make this a reality. And my heart goes out to them for the support that they've given us.
Right. So we're going to take a break right now, and a very appropriate song by Bruno Mars. And I'm not even going to tell you the name of the song, and I want you to listen to it and have a good time listening to it. And the person that was calling, go ahead and give us another call during this music break. And if you have anything that you'd like to offer, we're at 584-2020. Enjoy. And if you just listened, sorry, if you just joined us, this is KRCB Radio Living Proof, and our phone lines are a little busy, and we're on air, and we can't answer the phone. I'm really sorry. We needed you to call during the break, but I know somebody else was on the phone during the break. So somebody asked the question that we cannot answer, but I think it's a really great question. Usually you can amend your tax return. You can go back 3 years, and so the caller wanted to know, can, now that gay marriage is legal, can we go back and amend our taxes from now 3 years back? And the consensus in the room right now is that it's still up for discussion, that nobody really knows the answer to that right now. So keep asking those questions. Keep looking online and in the news. And I'm sorry I can't give a better answer than that. So, but great question, and thank you so much for calling in to the caller. Also, Diana, you put a call out to our friends Rolf and Amy. I want to put out one more call to our straight allies, Jan and Dean. And they also were so supportive in helping us and helping Prop 8 get defeated. So anyway, yeah. We're back in studio with Dean and Tim and Greg and Diana and me. And we're talking to Dean and Tim, husbands. And we kind of wanted to know a little bit about your life growing up. And so... So can you go ahead, Di?
Yeah. So we want to know about you. So yeah. Who are you really behind the 24 years, and how did you meet and all of that? So let's start with your coming out, maybe. Let's just start from when you're.
I was living in Boston. I was a freshman in college. Actually, I was just started my sophomore year, and I had been experimenting with men sexually for a couple of years, very infrequently. I didn't know what it meant. And it wasn't until my feelings got hurt with one of these men that I realized, oh, this is my heart that is involved. Oh. Uh-huh. And that was the moment that I guess came out to myself. And pretty much at the same time to everybody else, because it was when I realized I was gay is when I came out. Mm. And that was when I was actually 21, and I was living in Boston at the time, and then when I was 26 or 27, I moved to San Francisco. I was transferred. I took a transfer with the company that I was working for at the time, and about 8 or 9 months later, I met Tim, and we met on a Thursday night before Memorial Day, and he went away for the weekend with his brother, and when he came back on Monday night, we got together and have been together ever since.
Wow.
Talk about passion.
Just gave me chills.
I know. Wow. Aww. I was trying to be funny a little bit. I was, while you were talking, you're so serious here. I'm smiling at you. No, but you were right on. You were staying focused, and I was being bad. But I was thinking about, that's the only reason why you came, you got your job switch transfer.
I was thinking the same thing, Diana.
Okay. San Francisco, from Boston.
Okay. So I had come out here on vacation, 4th of July, 1988.
Here we go.
With a whole bunch of friends. And that, you know, because summer in San Francisco is not always the warmest time. But this happened to be an 80-degree weekend, and I was driving around with a friend in a convertible, and I thought, oh, my God, this is a magical city. And that was 4th of July. I put in for a transfer, and by Labor Day, I was living here.
Oh.
He didn't know how magic this city was.
I just picked up, packed a truck, drove across country, and was here a few weeks later, and love it.
Wow. So who's the first person you came out to, Dean?
Oh, my God. I can't... Well, it must have been my roommates. Probably also my girlfriend, because I had a girlfriend at the time.
The story unfolds.
Yes. So funny.
So my friends started to, you know, very slowly, because, you know, when you're straight, all you have is straight friends, or all I had was straight friends at the time. Of course, this was back in 1981. And then a few months later, I got a call from my sister saying, by the way, mom and dad know. My girlfriend's mother at the time called my parents and outed me. It wasn't the best situation at the time, but in hindsight, and even a year afterwards, I had the perspective of, it was probably the best thing that happened. Mm. You know, my parents were very supportive. My family is very supportive. I have a gay sister in the family, so I feel very fortunate, and like I'm one of the lucky ones, because I've heard horror stories.
So 21 seems a little late for you to come out even to yourself.
Well, I didn't know. And again, remember, this was back in the 70s and 80s, so it's not like it is today, where kids can come out in junior high and high school and be accepted somewhat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know if I knew what the word gay meant back when I was in high school. I mean, I socialized to have girlfriends in high school, as everybody is, I suppose. A guy would catch my eye now and then, but I just thought, oh, he's cute. I didn't know what that meant. I knew that there was something, but I didn't know what it meant. A few years later.
I'm like very in line with you, because I came out when I was 21 also.
Okay.
And I look
well,
in the back.
Well, not only that, honey, but we also have the same birthday. So you and I, we're on the same wavelength.
Soul siblings.
Yes, on a few things.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, but when I look back and I go, oh, that's what that was about. I didn't have a name for it either, you know. But just having those close friendships with girls, never having a boyfriend in school, high school, college, nothing. Well, college, I had one. That was it. So it was like, yeah. So when I asked you that question, it was like, I relate.
Yeah.
So, okay, Tim, what about your coming out story?
Well, now I'm going to feel a little awkward, because I didn't come out till I was 26. Saying that was a little late.
You put that pressure on you.
I'm sorry, Tim.
Pressure. No, it's all good. It was my life. It's my life.
Yeah.
And I dated girls. I had some friends in high school that I actually traveled cross country with. After we graduated, we went across country for about 3 months, and it turns out that both of them are lesbians. But at the time, none of us were having that conversation. However, where that factored in is later, I really decided to experiment with men or figure that part of my life out. After a pretty hot and heavy relationship with a woman, and then I went over to Europe for 3 months, and they encouraged me to check it out and just get in touch with myself while I was over there, which I chose to do. And then when I came back, I realized that that's who I was. And that was the year before I met Dean. So I had a relatively brief period of time as a single gay man. But was very happy to find the love of my life shortly thereafter. So, oh, stop blushing.
I know he is. We can see it in the studio here.
Yeah, well, you know, it's sweet to hear those things again. Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
Oh.
Since I've heard the story.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. So your families, how has that been to come out?
Actually, for myself, start.
Tim, yeah.
For me, once it was out, it was relatively supportive. I think my dad, being very much a sports guy and kind of the macho side of life, he said something very... I felt supportive the way that he would, which was, if anybody says anything bad about him, I'll kick their, you know what. My mom responded kind of with the, "Oh, but you're so handsome." And, and I was like, well, just think of the men I can get. No, just kidding. That's a joke. But, but you know, that was kind of her initial response. And then my brother probably was the one who had the hardest time with it. There's four of us. I'm third in line. My brother is the first child. Again, a very macho kind of life that he's led. But, you know, he and I have a great relationship. Now, he turns to me for relationship advice. He's been divorced, has a longstanding girlfriend. So overall, the family's been very supportive. And I feel very connected. Dean's family, I feel, you know, we feel very supported in our environment. Our social group is very supportive, and that exists with all number of people, you know, straight, gay, whatever. Yeah. So.
Okay, good. Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah. And I was just thinking about that. Usually we have the July show is a freedom show. Hmm. Okay. So this is a freedom show. And then we got the Supreme Court decision, a freedom show, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But also working, looking and being with you two is a long-term relationship show as well. So we would like to get into, you know, your relationship. How's it been? How, you know, all of that stuff, all of the nitty gritty of relationship, because that's what Sharon and I love. This is what we do, is help people and talk about relationships.
Yeah, it was intriguing when, Tim, when you were talking, you said people come to you for relationship advice, straight or gay, it doesn't matter. They come to you, and your brother comes to you, and it's like, oh.
So how did what's making you stay together for so long, and what makes it work? Wherever you want to start, we'll just go from there.
Wow, such a big question. Well, I'll see if I can kind of answer this, and I'm going to try to get in touch with my heart for this one. For me, there is a sense of belonging and purpose that I have in my life as it relates to being with Tim. And I don't imagine there would be anything that would cause us to split. We have both, over the last past 24 years, grown as individuals. And I think one of the things that I hold on to is I don't think I could ever grow so big that he couldn't support me or handle me or contain or be there for me, because I think he grows just as much as I do. You know, you always hear, or I've heard, you know, oh, we outgrew each other. And I can't imagine outgrowing Tim. I really can't.
So what do you think that is that allows Tim to?
Can I?
Yeah,
just one thing that comes to mind that I would echo Dean's sentiment, and you said it's a freedom show. I think freedom to be ourselves is really a critical component of who we are as individuals. We have enough strength individually and also as a couple to allow each other the space to grow. And that is just something that I think is a kernel that exists within our relationship that I would never foresee losing or wanting, just because I expect that as a soul, I'm here to expand and continue that expansion. And so I want that for Dean. I feel he wants that for me. And it really just, it's, and that said, there have been some rough times. I mean, let's not sugarcoat this and say, you know, that we didn't have struggles or haven't had struggles. Everybody has struggles. But I think that we've given each other the space at times where we had to actually even be apart from each other because we needed that space. And but there has always been a strong, abiding love that we've had for one another. And it continues, thank goodness.
And he makes me laugh every day. I think, you know, because, you know, sometimes you have to think about what are the small things in addition to the big things, but what are the small things? And so I sometimes try to think, what am I grateful for today? And I really do sometimes try to find the small things. And one of the small things is that he cracks me up and makes me laugh every day.
Aww.
he allows the child in me to come out.
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'd echo Tim's sentiment that he said about tying this back to freedom. I absolutely feel free to do and be whoever I am, and I'm not constrained by what I think Tim will or will not accept. I feel complete freedom.
Well, and, sorry. No, I was just listening to Tim talk about not holding each other back and being an expanded soul, and you want that for Dean, and you're hoping he wants that for you. And Dean, I know you're in school right now and you're in an internship program. And I mean, how supportive of your husband, Tim, to support you in changing your career, going back to school, all the hours that it takes, all the papers that you have to write, all the time. And I absolutely 100% agree with both of you, because it's the same when Diana went back to school to get her degree, her PhD, when I went back to school to get my master's. I mean, it's just like you support each other. And yeah, there's hard times because you can't have each other, you know, 24/7, because they have to do their homework and they have to go do their, you know, their all their projects and everything. But to know that you got that basic foundation of love, what it sounds like you guys are articulating, I mean, that is one of the keys for sure, is wanting the best for your partner.
And I think that that if I had a wish, it was that everybody who was in a relationship, straight, gay, whatever, that that was something that they felt for one another. I think where I have my hardest time or my empathy is really there for people is when I feel that they are, I don't want to say put upon, but you can see the constraint that, that exists in their relationship. And, you know, we all have choice, but my hope is that people come to that place where they have that space for the expansion and that they are allowing each other that space. We go to that place of fear so often that just you're grabbing at things and you're clutching, and that clutching is a form of pulling down or
constraining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that really is something that I feel for people when I see that. And I'm very thankful for the fact that I don't have that in my relationship. So.
Okay. So we got all the sweet stuff out of the way.
Yeah. Good. Diana, you are good. I like this.
We got all the sweet right. stuff out of the way. Now let's get down and dirty. No, seriously. You know, yeah. I really love to hear both of you speak so passionately about what you have, and you know, over time, you know, you've gotten to this place. You know, you stuck it out, whatever that was, and we kind of get a sense of what that is. Mm-hmm. Because what you're doing here is educating the listeners as well, because a lot of people don't know how to stick, don't know how to have that openness and that freedom. So,
well, a big example of where I hope you're okay with me going down this path, but For instance, there's been a few stumbles, and I'll explain one of them that I think would normally be a challenge to anybody. And I can see where I learned a lesson in this. And it was surrounding real estate. Now, that's my profession nowadays. But the very first home that we purchased, I bought on my lunch hour and didn't really seek his approval. I was told no. Several times by him, and I was digging my heels in saying, I want it. This is, you know, this is my dream. I'm going to pursue it. And that was a major stumble. That was in 1991. So that was, you know, not that long into our relationship. Mm-hmm. And that was something that we had to overcome. Mm-hmm. And fast forward another, 10 years, 15 years, and I bought an apartment building without telling him. So his sister knew because she was doing the loan. His father knew because he wrote a letter for me. So there were a few things that weren't exactly right, but I'm just bringing those up as examples of places where I think that would be hard for somebody to get past. Mm-hmm. It was not, you know, a skate in the park. It was something that we had to deal with, but you know, learning to make decisions as a couple is important, it's a challenge. And there are those times where the little boy in me may come out and say, I want my way. And you have to be open to discussing that and getting past it. So, sorry.
That takes a lot of courage to say that out in the world. You don't know who's listening and
right.
how many people are listening. So thank you. How was that for you, Dean, when what Tim's talking about?
Well, I remember I have the same memories. And, you know, the first time that he, you know, bought the house in the lunch hour after I had said no, you know, that did cause some problems. It gave us a lot to discuss for several years following. The apartment building in Chicago, this would have been in probably 2004, so that was a good 15 years into the relationship. I had a very different reaction. I actually kind of laughed and thought it was funny, because I guess where I went to was Tim has always been a very responsible person. He has always taken care of our financial dealings, being that he was a former CPA. So I had a terrific amount of trust that he had a good business sense and he would always do the right thing. So when he said he bought an apartment building, I thought, you know, he's never made a mistake yet. And he's always thought about us and our financial obligations and our life. In those, you know, in going forward, he had always thought about that. And I thought, you know, who am I to say that he's not making yet another good decision? And I thought, and if it ends up not being a good decision, who among us has never made a mistake? So if this is what he wants, who am I to say no? And likewise, there have been plenty of occasions where I would say Tim has offered me the same freedom. If that's what Dean wants to do, who am I to say no? And I feel that from him. I mean, there has been plenty of occasions, I think, where I've gone off and done my thing.
Well, I think the things that you've brought up tonight are, you know, I don't think there's one secret for a long-term relationship to last forever. I think there are many wonderful things to help keep a relationship together, and you've hit upon many of them. And
You know, one of the things that Tim referred to, that at one point we had a little bit of a break, and it was probably around the fifth year. And I was certain that, you know, everything that Tim did that drove me crazy, you know, I was certain that he did it for the sole purpose of driving me crazy. And for that time that we were apart, and I began to realize that all those things that drove me crazy, he still does, whether I'm with him or not. And I realized, oh, that's just who he is. That, this has nothing to do with me. If they drive me crazy, it's because I'm bothered by them. He's not bothered by them. That's who he is.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am crazy.
No, no, but, and so then when we got back together, it was the realization that, you know what? I choose you with all of the things that I know about you, all of the things that drive me crazy, all the foibles, all the mistakes, whatever. I choose you in spite of them. And I think a lot of times when couples get together, you know, the very beginning of the relationship is, you know, how can we be aligned on every decision, on everything that we want to do? How can we be aligned? And what I think we've realized, or what I realized, is I don't have to be aligned on everything.
It takes a lot of something. What is that something for you to be in that place? Because you don't find many people who can just step back and say, you know, because everybody's trying to change everybody.
Okay. I don't want you to change me, so I won't try to change you. I will support you for who you are, and you support me for who I am.
And trust that you're going to be around for each other.
And just one quick thing, and that was the whole issue of space and allowing space for the person to come to those places where they've made decisions for themselves. The space was something I was reflecting on earlier today when thinking of coming to talk here. That was a something that reinforced us. So,
it's not often that we run into a couple like you two.
No?
No. I'm well, kind of speechless.
Well, we have our best friends are also together for 24 years. Mm. They're kind of our family. Mm. And
the ones who chickened out.
The ones who chickened out, right?
Sure.
I'm sorry, but it's true. But okay,
you're bad. We'll get them in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and my sister, she's been with her partner for just over 20 years.
Wow.
So.
Is she here or back east?
They're in Chicago. Oh, okay. Although she's actually in Sonoma right now as we speak because she came out to visit for the weekend.
Okay.
So she's.
Well, we want to thank you both. Oh. I feel like we need to talk much longer with you. Like, I mean, we just started talking,
we need another hour.
We want to thank you so much. And you know, you put in your, we usually ask people for advice at the end, but you kind of put in your advice. You weaved it in this whole hour. So we really, really appreciate you coming. And thank you very much for giving us your time tonight and educating our community and letting them know who you are.
Well, thank you for
having us. Our pleasure.
Yeah. And we also want to the wider listening audience, we also want to invite, if there's a couple that would like to get married on air, Greg Moralia, our engineer, has his reverend license. What's it called, Greg?
I can marry people.
So if there's anyone that wants to come on air, you know, share a little bit about your lives, get married on air, you know, we have the format to do that.
We'll even throw in a champagne toast.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Come on, people.
So,
cider,
if any brave souls out there. So remember that you two can be living proof that you can be proud and vibrant, just like Tim and Dean were that came in tonight to share their stories, just like Greg is, just like Diana is and myself. Just, you know, you two can be living proof that you can live your dreams. And we will see you next month for Sunday for another wonderful show on Living Proof.
Good night.
Be sure to tune in next Sunday night at 8 p.m. for Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan, only here on KRCB Radio. You're listening to KRCB FM Windsor Santa Rosa, news, arts, and ideas where you are at 91.1 and 90.9 FM, streaming worldwide at krcb.org. Stay with us. It's just before 9 p.m. Moyers & Company is next. What have you done today? So many.